right. Well, if you would, go ahead and open in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And just want to say what a blessing it is to have the opportunity again to preach God's Word here. Crossroads has been such an awesome blessing to me and my family over the years. So it's always a blessing to be able to return the favor and share God's truth with you. Tonight's message I've titled, Do Not Faint, Stand Firm. Wasn't exactly with addictions ministry in mind, but I mean, it goes along with it. It's always amazing to me when I look back at the fact that, you know, if you told me 6 years ago that I'd be up here preaching God's Word, I would have told you you're crazy. You go even a little farther back than that, another 10 years, and I would have said, you know, you came to me talking about Christ, and I would have told you you're a fool, get out of my face. I was nothing but just a drunkard. Really, I look back, I was such an idiot, filled with such just hate and anger, trying to fill the void in my life with things, relationships, all the wrong things. And it's just amazing to me how the grace of God works in the life of all of us and in individuals. And to take someone like that, and now I'm have the opportunity to teach His Word. I always find encouragement from Paul and studying about Paul. And here he was, a murderer of the church. And then he went to sharing the gospel and bringing in the truths of God's Word for the body of Christ. And this message kind of goes along with it. It's do not faint, stand firm. I think most of us would agree that we don't live in a perfect world. You know, all you got to do is take 5 minutes and watch the news. And we don't live in a perfect world. I mean, you can even drive down the street and see that we don't live in a perfect world. And the fact that none of us know really what is waiting for us down the road. You know, we cannot see into the future. We don't know what events may lie before us. We don't always know when trials are going to come our way. Wouldn't that be great? If all of a sudden you get an email that says, hey, be ready, in 2 months, you're going to have a family tragedy. So this is what you want to do. Here's your bullet point, your checklist. You know, but we don't have that. We don't know when trials are going to come our way. The key, though, is what do we do when trials do come our way? What do we do? Do we fall apart? Do we let the desperation and the grief take control of our lives? Or do we remain firm and solid? That's what's important. What do we do when the trials come? Even if we do maintain our composure, how are we doing this? Are we trusting maybe in our own strength? Are we just saying, you know, if I just hold on and grit my teeth long enough, things will get better? Maybe we're trusting in family members to help us through. You know, if they can just come around me and give me enough hugs, everything will be okay. Maybe we're trusting in our job. As long as things stay good, you know, I can pay the bills, we can make it through. Maybe our possessions. Maybe we're trying to find our strength and our comfort in outside things, friends. But how long will those things last you? How many of us have ever been let down by someone we thought was so close, so dear, who was there to help us? Listen, there is a great need in this world, but the only solution for this need is found in Jesus Christ. Listen, every believer, every single one of us that have trusted Christ as our Savior, we have been entrusted with the good news of Jesus Christ. We have been entrusted with the good news that He went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. That through His blood, our sins are washed away. Through His resurrection, we have everlasting life. We have been entrusted with that message. But in order for us to be a vibrant testimony of the love of Christ, we got to stand firm through Christ when those trials come. If once trials come in our lives and we totally forget everything God told us in His Word and we fall apart and we break down, That lost person is going to look at us and go, what joy is there? You say there's strength, but you're not showing me any. We need to stand firm through Christ. And then this passage here in 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church there. He's given some encouragement to them. And we see some great principles in here on how we can stand firm through Jesus Christ. Let's look at the verses here. Starting in verse 1, Paul writes here, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we what? We faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity to be able to just share your truth, Lord, tonight. And I pray that all of our hearts are just eager and open and ready to receive your truth. Lord, I pray that we'll eagerly seek your truth and we'll just get your wisdom, your knowledge and understanding in our hearts. And Lord, we'll be that shining example for you in this dark world, Lord. We'll be those lights. Father, I pray this evening that you just use me tonight as your vessel, Lord. Help me to share your wisdom, your knowledge and understanding and not my own. They don't need Shannon's wisdom, they need yours, Lord. Help me to just be a humble servant tonight, sharing your truth. And help us all come together in the unity of the body of Christ, Lord, standing firm for you, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So how are we going to stand firm for Christ? And there's three principles here I think we learn from these verses here. And the first one is, if we're going to stand firm for Christ, we need to rightly divide God's word. Look at verse 2. Verses 2 and 3 here says, Paul writes, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the what? The truth. Manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. One of the greatest gifts a believer has today is the completed Word of God. We have over 800,000 words. Over 800,000 words straight from God to us. I mean, what a blessing this is right here in black and white. Have you ever wondered what God's will is for your life? It's right there. It's right there. You got to get in His Word. Listen, are you going through a hard time? Are you going through a trial? Maybe you need comfort. Are you in bondage to an addiction or fleshly living? Maybe sin's just got you under its thumb and just keeping you in bondage. Are you desiring to know truth? There's so much out there in the world that's saying that this is the truth. I've mentioned before, I've used it before, you go into any bookstore, one of the largest sections is the self-help section. Every single book in there is telling you this is truth. And every other book contradicts the one before it. There's so much stuff out there saying this is truth. But if you really desire truth, you're going to find it all in the pages of God's Word. You're going to find it in the Bible. But listen, there's a warning here in this passage. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Paul writes, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. There's three things here, three warning signs that he's giving. And that's you need to refrain from dishonest things, you need to not walk in craftiness, and you need to not handle the word of God deceitfully. Those dishonest things bring shame and disgrace to God's word. Craftiness means trickery, cunning. doing manipulation, trying to get what you need, using God's word to manipulate somebody's course of action. It's neat, the word deceitfully means to ensnare or adulterate. That word adulterate means to render something poorer by adding another inferior substance. Listen, that's taking God's word right here, which is truth, and adding in some other garbage that claims to be truth. Man, you make a poor substance by it. Handling God's word deceitfully. Listen, you cannot take God's word out of context or mishandle it. You want to stand firm for Christ in the face of trials, you got to rightly divide God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." It's one of the most important verses for every believer to know. Listen, if you want to stand approved before God, you do not want to be ashamed, you have to rightly divide. You have to study God's word. Listen, if you are going to endure through Christ, you have to understand His word. But you got to be careful how you study His word. You got to be careful on who you listen to out there. You know, you got poor guys out there. They're honestly out there wanting to preach God's word. They just don't know any better. They're sharing stuff that's not rightly divided, pulling things out of context. Maybe they were taught it in school. It sounds great. It's wonderful. I know. I've listened to many preachers do that. I think about Apollos in Acts. Here's Apollos. He's a smart guy. In Acts 18, we read he's coming out of Alexandria, one of the intellectual centers of the world. And he's preaching Christ, but he only knows the baptism of John the Baptist. And here comes Aquila and Priscilla, who've been under Paul. They've learned how to rightly divide the message. And they're going, man, this guy's a great speaker, but he's saying things that aren't right. He wasn't doing it deceitfully. He just didn't know any better. But then they take him aside and they share with him. They teach him how to rightly divide and how to preach the message better. And he goes off and he does wonderful things for the work of Christ. So you got to be careful. There are people out there that, sure, wonderful message, but it's just they're got the wrong information. But then there are some out there that are purposely mishandling God's word. And listen, let me tell you, it'll sound like the greatest thing in the world. It'll be all warm and fuzzy. You'll leave there or you'll turn off the TV or the radio and you'll just feel so good. And then it'll start to wane and you need to listen to the program again. And then it'll wane, you need to listen to the program again. And listen, the whole time people are sending him money and he's lining his pockets. Hold your place here. Go over to chapter 11. Paul warns the Corinthians here. Go over to chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verses 13 through 15. Paul says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers." But what are they doing? Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. He says, hey, you shouldn't be surprised. Why? For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Folks, Satan isn't going around with a pitchfork and horns sticking off in the red suit. He ain't. It says right here, he's coming across as an angel of light. Something wonderful. Look at verse 15. "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." Listen, those that are teaching falseness, that are wanting to lead you astray, listen, they're going to be coming to you as angels of light, of ministers of light, bringing you truth. They're going to lead you astray. And when trials come, what they teach you is not going to hold true. And you won't be standing firm. Listen, now I'm so thankful for the Bible Institute. I got saved back in 1998. I got involved in all sorts of different ministries. I heard all sorts of different kind of teaching. But I never heard anything about the importance of Paul's ministry. I never heard anything about rightly dividing until I came here back in 2005. It's been a blessing. You go to a life group, you get rightly divided God's word. You go to service, you get the message rightly divided. You're in the Bible Institute, you get the message rightly divided. We got a blessing, but there's a lot of things out there you got to be careful for. Listen, without Christ, you have no true hope. But that once you're in Christ, you got to rightly divide his truth so that you can take that truth, stand on that truth, and stand firm when the trials come your way. Listen, you want to stand firm in trials, you got to rightly divide God's truth. The second thing is by resisting the traps of Satan. Go back to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. You have to resist the traps of Satan. Look at verse 4. He says, well, we'll start in 3, just to get a little of the context. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, and folks, the God of this world is Satan. That's Satan. That's a reference to him right there. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Listen, there's a war going on out there. There's a war going on, and I'm not talking about Iraq and Afghanistan. There's a war. The God of this world is waging war against this world. Listen to Ephesians 2, verse 2. It says, wherein in time past ye, now he's talking to believers here, he says, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan again, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's working through the non-believers, the children of disobedience. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This war we're in, it's not a physical war. Your battle isn't with your neighbor. It's not with your family member. All right, it's with Satan and his minions who are trying to keep the lost blinded from the truth and to keep you from sharing the truth. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen, Satan is blinding the eyes of people in the world to the truth of the gospel. He is actively out there trying to keep them from hearing the truth. But listen, how is the lost world supposed to hear the truth of Christ? By us. It's by the believers going out and sharing the truth. It is our responsibility to share the gospel. And so Satan desires to keep you discouraged, to keep you confused, and keep you from understanding the truth of the Bible. He will do whatever he can to keep you all dazed and confused, tossed to and fro, going after every little bit of doctrine that may come your way, instead of just resting in the truth rightly divided. So what do you do against the enemy? What do you do when these attacks come? What do you do when you're confused, when trials come your way? You resist. You resist. Listen to the rest of Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 12, we learn that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But then Paul goes on into Ephesians 6:13. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Listen, when those trials come, how are you going to stand? It's with the armor of God. The armor of God is His Word right here. It's yielding your life to the Holy Spirit, allowing the fruit of the Spirit to just work through you. That's putting on the armor. Listen, if we are going to endure for Christ, if we're going to be those shining testimonies, we need to rightly divide God's word, and we need to resist the traps of Satan. But the third point is by humbly glorifying God in all that we do. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 if you're not there already. Look at verses 5 through 7. Verse 5, what a great set of verses here. He says, for we preach not ourselves. Paul and them weren't going around preaching how wonderful Paul is. He says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants." Why? For Jesus' sake. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Listen, roughly 1.8 people die every second in the world. That's 108 per minute. By the end of this service, 6,480 people have stepped off into eternity. That's 156,000 per day, 56.7 million per year. You know, there's around 6,870 people groups unreached for the gospel. That's roughly 2.8 billion people that haven't heard God's truth. That's roughly 2.8 billion people that don't have the truth of God to stand on. And listen, there are plenty of people right outside these doors that need to hear the truth. Pastor Dan asked earlier, and I could hear behind me all sorts of hands going up, how many of us knew or know someone that needs to hear the gospel? And I think just about everybody rose their hands, didn't we? We all know somebody who needs to hear the truth. They are in desperate need of the good news of Jesus Christ. But listen, this will never happen if believers are not enduring hardship and standing through Christ. If every time a trial comes, we fall, and it doesn't mean we don't feel pain, we don't feel grief. It doesn't mean we don't just feel hurt. We do. But when we do, we glory in the strength and the peace that God gives us. What a great testimony. I've known some friends that have gone through trials, and they tell me that when they went to work, their lost friends at work tell them, "I don't see how you keep going." And they get to tell them, "I get to keep going because of what Jesus Christ has done for me." And it's a testimony to them, standing strong. But we got to do it by humbly glorifying God. Listen, who do you know that needs to hear the gospel? As I said before, I'm sure we all know someone. But the key to this is in these verses right here. Paul says we need to humbly glorify God and not ourselves. Paul says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." He says, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." Listen, bringing glory to God should be the focus of everything we do. Hold your place here. Go over to Romans. Go back towards the front of the Bible one, but go to Romans chapter 15. This always comes up. I remember it from taking Kathy Shive's biblical counseling class. And one of the things you learn to hand out for homework, it's a nice little index card. It says, "Why are you here?" And it's to bring glory to God. And it's from these verses. Romans 15, verses 5 and 6 says, "Now the God of patience and consolation," but now listen to this, "grant you," and he's speaking to a group, "grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind, one mouth," what does it say? "Glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." We are together in unity to stand firm for Christ, glorifying God in all that we do. And listen, it's only through a relationship with Jesus Christ that someone gains the freedom that they need from sin. It's only through a relationship with Jesus Christ that they're going to find that everlasting peace to help them through that trial. It's only through a relationship with Jesus Christ, humbly glorifying God, that you'll stand firm in these trials and tribulations. And listen, this comes when believers stand firm, just resting in Christ, yielded to Christ, and allowing Him to live His life through you. Listen, how are we going to endure for Christ? How are we going to stand firm and not falter? It's by rightly dividing God's word, by resisting the traps of Satan, and by humbly glorifying God in all that we do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity. And Lord, I thank you so much for your word. And I thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, it's only through the blood of Christ that our sins are cleansed. Lord, I pray that we'll take your word and we'll just fill our hearts with your truth, Lord. Lord, I pray that we'll desire to just humbly glorify you in all that we do. I pray that we'll stand firm together as the body of Christ, as a church, working together to reach those that need to hear your good news. Father, I thank you again for just everyone here and the blessing they've been in my life. And I just pray, Lord, that we'll continue to grow together in your truth. And I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
With our heads bowed, with